Tom, you know, some work is actually getting done in Washington, D.C. these days. It's not just Mueller time all the time. There's actually some work getting done in terms of employment, labor law, wages, minimum wages, all that great stuff. To help us kind of summarize what's going on there in terms of labor, we welcome Chris Opfer. Chris is Bloomberg Law Deputy Team Leader. He joins us in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. Chris, welcome. So let's start with what the Labor Department announced on Friday in terms of overtime pay, making some or proposing some changes there, aren't they?
That's right. The department finally unveiled their long-awaited new overtime rule. And what they're saying is that once this rule becomes finalized, anyone making under about $35,000 a year will be automatically eligible for time and a half pay for any hours beyond 40 a week. That $35,000 level is up from the current level, which is $24,000, but lower than what was proposed by the Obama administration. The Obama administration wanted to go to $48,000.
So, Chris, this seems like a meaningful change. Does it have support? Is this going to get done?
I think it probably gets done. They're saying it's going to make about 1 million workers newly eligible for overtime. The Obama rule would have made 4 million workers eligible for overtime. And so there will probably be some legal challenges on the left worker groups who would have liked to seen the Trump administration go higher than 35, right, up to 48, will probably sue. And there'll be some legal questions there.
Is it enough to change the incentives of full-time and part-time? Do employers, whether they're Republican or Democratic supporting, do they go, no, I'm not going to do this at this salary point, so everybody's going to work 20 hours a week, et cetera?
That was definitely one of the defenses that we heard when, especially in the Obama era, when it was going to go up double, a lot of employers said that.
I got to make this clear, folks. Bloomberg Law's analysis of this is so acute and discreet that it's a fair question. Are we just turning full-time people into part-time America?
I think, well, that's going to have to play out. I mean, certainly
it's happened
a lot of
for the last decade, right?
Say that, and that you'll hear the same thing with the minimum wage too. Democrats are going to push a $15 minimum wage, and the brushback from that will be that it'll cost people jobs. You'll see more part-time workers.
No, this is important. Not unit jobs. It will cost some hours per week. What
right.
I hear from so many people is they would kill to work more hours. Mm-hmm. They're being forced. You know, full disclosure. One of them is my offspring, but. They want to work more hours, and they can't because of the laws you're talking about.
And, you know, the support for the rule is that, well, look, it hasn't kept up with inflation. It's 24K right now. There's a lot of people in between that level, but there's still a lot of people above the 35K. So we're only talking about people who are making less than 35,000 a year who would be automatically eligible. If you're making more than that, you still have to get paid for those hours, but you don't get paid time and a half.
Chris, let's talk about the minimum wage. A number of states have pushed it to, I think, $15. Is there any move on the federal level to raise that minimum wage?
I think that's a really interesting one to watch for because there's been a lot of talk since Democrats took control of the House about how far to the left they'll go, how progressive of an agenda they'll push. And the $15 minimum wage is at the centerpiece of what progressives want to see done in terms of an economics jobs agenda. But what we're hearing is that the bill that was introduced and which would raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour over the course of several steps, I think it's over 6 or 7 years, that they're still trying to get the moderate Democrats on board with this. There's a lot of concern, similar to what Tom was saying, about the potential job impact here. And so folks like, for example, O'Connor Lamb or someone like that who's new to the House and is also in a more red or purple district and a bit of a moderate, those folks still are not apparently on board.
So, Chris, in some of the states where we've seen the $15 minimum wage, has there been any evidence that it has, in fact, destroyed jobs or taken jobs out of the marketplace?
It really depends who you ask. I mean, we saw dueling studies out of Washington a year or two ago. One of them said, look, there's been little or no job impact here. And the other said, the sky's falling. Right.
Got to leave it there. Chris Opfer, thank you so much. Right. Bloomberg Law, just brilliant on all these wage discussions. And you know, the real shock there, folks, is not so much part-time this or overtime that, but the idea that actual government's being done in Washington. I was not aware of Paul Sweeney that was happening. I mean, how Chris is like the one guy on Bloomberg who's actually got a functioning debate in Washington.
Exactly. I mean, it's interesting. You think about the gig economy, Tom. It's it really goes to minimum wage issues and overtime issues and fairness and pay issues. And so there's a lot of things rolling around D.C. as it relates to
what I hear trade. Mostly in the gig economy, and it's just anecdotal Manhattan chit chat. Is their hour work week is 70 hours a week?
Right. I mean, exactly.
It goes the other way from the part-time debate,
and it happens in usually in Starbucks. That's where most of the gig economy takes place, it seems like.
It's important, and I really can't say enough about the acuity of Bloomberg Law's discussion of this legislation at Ford. We do data checks. Futures at -4, Dow futures -33, the VIX 17.01 as well. Further data check, Duke Blue Devils 77, UCF Knights 76 as well. That's our final weekend data check from the NCAA.
good enough.
As well. Yields churn. This is Bloomberg.